Good evening, everyone, and welcome. Thank you for joining us tonight. I hope you find our call informative and useful. My name is Neil Kelly, Ontario Power Generation's Director of Media Relations, and I'm happy to be your host for Ontario Power Generation's telephone town hall meeting. Tonight, we're joined by Sean Hines, Director, Southeast Operations, East Region, and Helia Petzold, Technical Officer, Water Management. We are going to try and not take up too much of your time and aim to finish by about 8:30 p.m. this evening. This is the call for the Madawaska River to discuss OPG's operations. We held a similar call at 6 p.m. to discuss our Ottawa River operations, which some of you may have participated on. As we mentioned during the first call, while some of the upfront information may be the same on both calls, we felt it was valuable to separate the river systems so we can hear from as many folks as possible, because we do not want to finish, because we do want to finish up in about an hour and be respectful of your time. Before we get started, let me explain how a telephone town hall works. Right now, residents from across the Madawaska River Basin are answering their phones and connecting to this discussion. In a way, this is like a traditional town hall, where guests arrive and file in through the front door, except in place of a front door, there are thousands of phones ringing throughout Eastern Ontario. Once someone answers their phone, they just stay on the line to join this discussion. For those who miss the call, an answering machine message will be left with directions on how to call into the discussion. This telephone town hall technology enables us to reach out and talk with thousands of people from the comfort of their homes. It is a great way for us to stay connected with residents and ensure that you get the latest updates about Ontario Power Generation's hydroelectric operations on the Madawaska River. For those of you just joining the call, welcome. This is a telephone town hall with Ontario Power Generation. Now, some of our employees are practicing social and physical distancing and are calling in remotely. We apologize for any technical issues we may run into. As I mentioned a few moments ago, tonight we're joined by Sean Hines, Director of Southeast Plant Operations in OPG's East Region. Sean and his team work out of OPG's offices in Renfrew, supporting operations on the Ottawa, Madawaska, and St. Lawrence River systems. Also speaking on the line tonight is Helia Petzold, Technical Officer, Water Management in Ontario Power Generation Southeast Region. This telephone town hall is live and interactive, which means that you can ask Sean or Helia your questions. If you have a question for Sean or Helia, just press star 3 on your phone at any time to let us know you'd like to speak live on the call. An operator will take down your question and put you in line to ask your question live. You will still be able to hear the town hall conversation while you are waiting to ask your question, and when I call your name, you will be able to ask your question live on air. I see we still have some more phones to call, so as we wait for everyone to join, I'd like to acknowledge the unprecedented times that we are all working and living through with the COVID-19 pandemic. OPG produces about half of the power that you use every day in this province. We power your hospitals, businesses, and of course your homes. We do that by safely operating 10 of the province's nuclear units, 66 hydroelectric stations across 24 river systems, and we have biomass, gas, oil, and some solar. Like many of you, some OPG employees continue to work remotely from home when possible, and our essential staff are in stations working to keep the lights on. We can assure you that the safety of the public and our staff continues to be OPG's top priority, even during these uncertain times. Now, this evening's agenda is fairly straightforward. Sean is going to provide a brief overview about OPG and then talk a bit about our operations on the Madawaska River. Tonight, you'll have a chance to ask questions. If we don't get to your questions or don't know the answer, we will be sure to get back to you sometime in the next couple of days. As I mentioned, I'd like to now introduce Sean Hines, who is OPG's Director of Southeast Plant Operations East Region. Just quickly, I will remind you that if you want to ask a question at any time during the call, you can press star 3 on your phone at any time to let us know you'd like to speak live on the call. An operator will take down your question and put you in line to ask your question live. Welcome to the Telephone Town Hall, Sean.
Okay, great. Thanks, Neil, and good evening, everyone. Thank you for taking the time to join us on this Telephone Town Hall about our operations on the Madawaska River. First, let me talk about what is likely on most people's minds during these difficult times we find ourselves in all across the globe. And, of course, here in Ontario, that being the COVID-19 pandemic. OPG plays a vital role in the well-being of Ontario by generating over half of its electricity. This includes power to hospitals, care facilities, clinics, and communities all across the province. Over the past year, more than ever, the people of Ontario are counting on our service. This is why ensuring the well-being of our staff who do this critical work continues to be of paramount importance. The health and safety of our employees and the public remains our top priority. Within OPG's Southeast operations, our continuity plans remain in place as we continue to safely operate the facilities throughout this pandemic. We're confident that our culture of safety, preparedness, and planning, along with our experience, has positioned us well to manage through this unprecedented event. Let me also point out that we have not overlooked the fact that we're once again entering into our spring freshet period. Now, with that said, Neil, let me turn my attention to the topic of our town hall this evening. Most people are probably quite interested to hear about OPG's operations along the Madawaska River. I would like to take a few moments to touch on three areas before we take questions this evening: an outline of OPG's Southeast operations, the Madawaska River Basin, and the general annual water management cycle. First, to our operations. Southeast operations consists of 10 generating stations and 3 control dams along the St. Lawrence, the Ottawa, and the Madawaska Rivers. The facilities are operated from our Southeast Control Center located at our R.H. Saunders Generating Station in Cornwall, Ontario. The total Southeast operations installed capacity is approximately 2,700 megawatts, with an annual energy production of 13,000 gigawatt hours. Now, this represents 10% of the annual provincial energy demand. We have over 300 skilled and dedicated staff across Southeast operations, and we're proud members of the communities in which we operate. The 5 stations and 2 control dams associated with the Madawaska Basin you're most likely interested in are our Mountain Chute Generating Station up near Centennial Lake, Barrett Chute GS and Calabogie GS, which is near Calabogie, of course, and our Stewartville Generating Station and Armprior GS, which is, of course, near Armprior. Our Bark Lake Control Dam, which is up near Barry's Bay, and of course, and then following that, our Kaministiquia Lake Dam, which is near Combermore. Now, secondly, I'd like to talk about the Mattawa River Basin itself. The Madawaska River watershed encompasses an area of approximately 8,500 square kilometers. Now, that's roughly about 1.5 times the size of Prince Edward Island. It's quite large. The headwaters of the Madawaska River flow out of a network of streams and lakes in the southeast corner of Algonquin Provincial Park. The river cuts its way across the Precambrian Highlands of the Canadian Shield in its 270-kilometer journey until it joins with the Ottawa River down at Shaw's Lake near the town of Armprior. There are 4 main tributaries throughout the basin, which include the Madawaska River, the Opeonga River, the York River, and Wabba Creek. In addition, there are other tributaries of less individual significance. In total, there are 12 dams on the main channel of the Madawaska River. The MNRF owns 4 of these dams, all of which are control dams. OPG owns the remaining 8 structures, including 5 generating stations, 2 control dams, and there is actually a weir in the town of Armprior as well. Over the length, the river drops 350 meters. Most of the vertical drop occurs between Bark Lake through to Armprior. Of course, Bark Lake is up near Barry's Bay. The river is managed according to the Madawaska River Water Management Plan, which has been in place since it was first approved in 2019. Created by OPG and the MNRF through consultation with many stakeholders, this legally binding document helps manage the river along its 270-kilometer length. Now, managing flows and levels on a system like the Madawaska always involves balancing different and sometimes competing values and objectives, such as electricity production, protection of fish and wildlife, the needs and interests of shoreline property owners, and a variety of other interests and users related to recreation. Dam owners must ensure that facilities are operated in accordance with the operating requirements as outlined within these water management plans. Dam owners are also responsible for ongoing self-monitoring. All operations outside of the approved operating regime for a facility is considered to be incidents, and all incidents must be reported to the MNRF. And lastly, I would like to outline the annual water management cycle for the folks on the line. In relation to, of course, OPG's operations following the Madawaska River Water Management Plan structure, for which I just touched on. The OPG generating facilities on the Madawaska River are considered a cascade river system. Now, a cascade is a series of waterfalls, or it can be considered a series of steps in which the water travels over. At each of the facilities, the water level upstream of the facility is fairly flat, and then falls vertically at the dam into the next facility or in the next elevation above the next facility. The level downstream of each facility is essentially the same as the upstream level of the next facility in that cascade. Another way to look at this is as a set of stairs with a water flowing over each step. The hydro facilities and dams would act as the vertical portion of each step. Now, OPG's Bark Lake Control Dam and the Mountain Chute Generating Station are really the only two sites OPG operates along the Madawaska River that has any significant reservoir storage. The reservoirs are used to store water during the spring and reduce peak flows in the river during this period. Throughout the winter and leading into and through spring, snow surveys are conducted. These snow surveys and the weather and water conditions are all monitored, and weather modeling takes place through that effort. Bark Lake is normally emptied or drawn down by the end of February. Once the Bark Lake drawdown is complete, the Mountain Chute GS head pond is emptied during March. The watershed is monitored continuously for incoming flows in order to assess conditions and manage the water to reduce flooding. These drawdowns empty storage that is later refilled by spring snowmelt and rainfall that is captured in the reservoir rather than being allowed to flow downstream during the time of year when flood risk is the highest. The refill of the Bark Lake and Mountain Chute reservoirs begin when water flows increase throughout the Madawaska River watershed in the spring. Now, it's important to note that OPG still has to maintain compliance for seasonal minimal and maximum levels and flow limits within the approved Madawaska Water Management Plan, for which I referred to earlier. Downstream of Mountain Chute Generating Station, water flows through Barrett Chute, Calabogie, Stewartville, and the Armpire Generating Stations. These facilities do not have storage useful for any flood mitigation. Along the way, that water is joined by more water from other parts of the Madawaska River Basin. This water either comes from snowmelt, from rain, or from other rivers within that basin. What's important to remember, Neil, is that nowhere along that river between Mountain Chute GS is there a reservoir to hold that water back. It's like a snowball that gets larger as it rolls along. In other words, whatever water is coming down the river keeps moving as there is no way to stop the flow. Snowmelt or precipitation that enters the system downstream of Mountain Chute can't be held or stored. This is where those reservoirs upstream I mentioned earlier play a vital role because they store water when flows downstream are highest, reducing the flood peak every year. However, there is still a physical limit to the amount of storage available, and in some years, they may not be enough. This may not be enough to prevent flooding. This is a typical water cycle, but is dependent greatly on weather. Weather is a main factor that influences levels and flows as it provides the main source of water which drains through the watershed. Now, as we know, Neil, this weather is unpredictable. Intense rain, rapid snowmelt, or the melt of an especially large snowpack can result in flooding beyond the flood mitigation capacity of OPG's Madawaska River dams. Now, to reiterate, over the 270-kilometer length of the Madawaska River and throughout the basin, OPG, the MNRF, and other private dam owners work together to manage water levels and flows throughout the Madawaska River. In compliance at all times with the Madawaska River Water Management Plan. Before I turn it back over to you, Neil, I'd like to provide some information about online access for you, for the folks on the line to visit and find out more about OPG and our operations. For regular level and flow information about our operations on the Madawaska River, please visit www.opg.com/river. This information is updated every business day. To learn more about how we work with nature, please visit www.opg.com/water. So that's /river and /water. This is also the section of the site where you can access a Madawaska River Water Management Plan for which I've referred to. Now, with that said, Neil, I'll turn it back over to you. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Sean, and welcome to everyone who just joined us on the phone. If you are just joining us tonight, we're here with Ontario Power Generation, Sean Hines, Director, Southeast Plant Operations, East Region, and Helia Petzold, Technical Officer, Water Management, Southeast Operations, for our telephone town hall to provide you with an update about Ontario Power Generation's hydroelectric operations on the Madawaska River. This telephone town hall is live and interactive, which means that you can ask your questions during the call. If you have a question for Sean or Helia, just press *3 on your phone at any time. So again, just press *3 on your phone at any time to let us know you'd like to speak live, and we'll put you on the call. An operator will take down your question, and you'll be able to ask your question live. You will also still be able to hear the town hall conversation while you're waiting to ask your question, and when I call your name, you'll be able to ask your question live on the air. We have many residents throughout Eastern Ontario already in the town hall, and there are a number of callers still getting connected, so we will be answering your questions live in just a couple of minutes. Before we get to the first question of the night from the callers, let me welcome Helia Petzold, Technical Officer, Water Management. Helia, how about you tell us a bit about the conditions we are currently seeing throughout the Madawaska River Basin?
Thanks, Neil, and good evening, everyone. Right now, the Madawaska River flows and water levels are normal for late March. On March 15th, the snow conditions were generally much lower than normal across the watershed, with the exception of the Algonquin Park area, where snow conditions were about normal. Over the past couple of months, Bark Lake and Centennial Lakes have been emptied to near their minimum operating levels, and they're now ready to store spring runoff. This year, temperatures warmed much earlier than usual, but we're still early in the spring season, and the peak spring flow of the Madawaska River is still ahead of us. Peak spring river flow is a result of several factors. The three most important factors are the amount of water stored in snow, the rate at which the snow melts, and the amount of rainfall. The only one of these three factors that we know with certainty right now is the amount of water stored in snow. Currently, as I said, we have less snow water content than normal across the watershed, and anyone who lives downstream of Mountain Chute knows that there's a lot less snow out there than normal for this time of year. Typically, at this time of year, we wouldn't have a good idea yet about the second factor, that is the rate of snow melt. But because spring came early this year and much of the snow has already melted, we know it was a gradual melt and we expect that to continue. The third factor, rainfall, remains unknown. Because rainfall forecasts aren't perfect, we can't know how much rain we will get between now and the end of spring. So overall, the amount of snow water content and the rate of melt indicate that spring freshet in the Madawaska watershed will not be large this year. Higher than normal rainfall was a factor in the floods of 2017 and 2019, and this factor remains an unknown right now, so it's not possible to completely rule out the possibility of a large spring freshet. I also want to add that while spring flooding is top of mind right now because of the events of the past few years, not having enough water to refill our reservoirs is also an annual risk. Emptying reservoirs frees up storage that can be used to hold back water from the spring snowmelt and rainfall, but the trade-off for this potential for flood mitigation is the risk of low summer water levels at Bark Lake and Centennial Lake if high spring flows don't materialize. And just like unusually wet springs are always a possibility, so are unusually dry springs. We will continue to monitor snow conditions, weather forecasts, and modeling results as the spring goes on, and this information will be used as the basis for the timing of the spring refill of our reservoirs. As Neil mentioned, if you'd like to ask either Sean or myself a question, just press *3 on your phone to get in the question line. An operator will take down your question and put you in line to ask your question live. That's it for my update, Neil. Back to you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Halya, and welcome to all those who have joined us. My name is Neil Kelly, and I'm joined tonight by Ontario Power Generation's Sean Hines, Director of Southeast Plant Operations, East Region, and Halya Petzold, Technical Officer, Water Management in OPG's Southeast Region. If you would prefer not to ask your question live on the air, you'll have a chance to leave Ontario Power Generation a message at the end of the event. And it looks like we have a number of questions from our callers, but let me remind you, if you want to ask a question live on the air, please press *3 on your phone. An operator will take down your question and put you in line to ask your question live. If you would rather just leave a message or comment, there will be an opportunity for you to do that at the end of the town hall. So I'm going to kick things off with an online question. This question comes from Andrew, and Andrew asks, does OPG take into account the impact of the water flow from the Madawaska River to the smaller lakes that feed from it? If property owners have questions or concerns about the water levels, how they're regulated by OPG, who do they contact? Halya?
That is a great question, Andrew. OPG is one of just several operators of dams and water management structures in the Madawaska watershed. So there's 41 structures in total in the watershed. MNRF, or the Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry, owns 25 of those dams. OPG owns 5 generating stations, 2 dams, and 1 weir. And I can tell you that we do communicate with the Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry regularly. It's me, myself, and my other water management colleagues who do that. We talk to the Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry every time that they do a dam operation on one of their dams, and they let us know what we can expect in terms of a change of inflow into the lakes and rivers that we regulate. If you do have a question or concerns about the water levels that OPG regulates, you can contact us. You can contact our media line at 877-592-4008, or you can email us at media@opg.com.
Okay, thanks very much, Halya. Please remember, this is your opportunity to ask questions directly to our speakers. If you have a question for Sean Hines or Halya Petzold, just press *3 on your phone at any time to let us know you'd like to speak live on the call. An operator will take down your question and put you in line to ask your question live. And before I go to a live caller, if you don't want everyone to hear your comments, you will have a chance to leave a message at the end of this event. So I'm going to go to Barbara. Barbara is calling us tonight from Calabogie. Barbara, you're on the telephone town hall. Please go ahead.
Okay. Mine actually has to do with the same concerns, especially when the temperatures seem to fluctuate. And in the summer months, you get the dams lowered, but the temperature is higher, and the water heats. And at these levels, I've written to you, is that fish are dying. And when fish die, that means there's an issue in the lake. And with the issue in the lake, this causes disease, it causes sickness, it causes less plant and flora development. It's dangerous for people to be in swimming. It's also, you get all the different algaes. So who monitors this on a regular basis, like you say? And when you contact and you ask for information, why does it go from power generation, then back over to a level in the government? The government comes back to you guys. You come back to me with no answers. And yet, it continues, and I've been on this lake for almost 20 years, and it's increasing, and there's more populace, and so that means there's going to be more usage, And there's the possibility, as we are now in COVID, that there's viruses, there's diseases. So what as the power generation who is supposedly looking after us and our benefits, not only just for power and to sell it to different corporations in different places, what are you doing for us as a community in whole?
Okay, thanks very much for the question, Barbara. Sean, do you want to take a stab at answering that?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Neil. Thanks for the question, Barbara. The habitat in amongst rivers and lakes, of course, the MNRF and various other regulators and other organizations all work together towards, protecting the habitat and, of course, the fish and wildlife. With respect to dam owners or power generating station operators, I think you referred to Calabogie GS, the Calabogie Lake. And, I'd encourage you to go to OPG, www.opg.com/river. And in that, there's some information in there. And you'll see Calabogie GS. All these stations and dams are operated as per the water management plan. And you can access the water management plan as well. And in those water management plans, there's a lot of considerations around the natural environment and the habitat and fish and wildlife. In fact, there's a large portion that's contributed to that concern and many of the stuff that you touched on. But if you go to the opg.com/rivers, you'll see in there, and the other folks in the line, I'd encourage you to look at that as well. Because in there, you'll see the actual elevations being maintained at those dams. And in those files, you'll see the operating limits. And OPG maintains our operations very strictly within those operating limits. So as a dam operator, our skilled operating staff and folks that are operating the power plants and the dams, they are very diligent in ensuring that these plants are operated within those limits. And I would add that those limits are set in consideration of many factors, one of which is fish and wildlife habitat. So hopefully that provides some answer to many of your questions, Barbara, and with related to our operations. Thanks for that.
Okay, thanks very much, Sean, and thanks very much for the question, Barbara. The one thing I'd ask you to do, if you'd like more information at the end of the call, please leave your contact information, and we can put you in touch with OPG's environmental team, and they can also answer your questions. So I want to go to another question live on the air. John in Calabogie. John, if you're there, please ask your question.
Yeah, my question is, I've been on this lake for almost 60 years now, and I built my home in 1975 using a dug well, which has serviced me now for the past 50 years plus. But in the past 5 years or so, that I've noticed that my well has been very, very low because of the lake being low. And the whole level of my well determines on the level of the lake. And there are times when I barely have enough water in my well to do a laundry. And yet, for the past 50 years, it's been great. I haven't had any problem except for the past few years. And when I have phoned OPG, they keep on referring to the fact that they're allowed to do what they want to do with the level of the water within a certain guidelines, and that's the answer I get. So, but in the meantime, I have no water.
Okay, thanks very much, John. Halyard, do you want to take a crack at answering that one?
That's a tough one because it depends exactly on the time of year that you're talking about, John. Maybe you could leave a message at the end of this call so that we could get more details and I can have that conversation and get all the details I need to give you a proper answer instead of
Yeah. How do I leave a message there then?
Right, just at the end of the call, it's Neil here, John. At the end of the call, just leave your contact information and we'll be in touch with you. Thank you very much. Helly, I've got another question for you. Is there a risk of not filling reservoirs on the Madawaska River?
So, yeah, Neil, that's a great question. Again, as I said, flooding has been top of mind the past few years for obvious reasons, but the risk of not refilling is something that water managers consider every year as well, and we have to balance the flood mitigation potential of our reservoirs against the risk that they might not refill in any given year. This year, it is a bit of a concern because of the low amount of water that we have in the snow right now and the fact that spring came quite early. So it's definitely something we're taking very seriously. However, rainfall is a major factor, particularly in the Madawaska watershed. Whether we get spring rain or not really drives whether we see a flood year or whether we see a dry year. And because there's still 62 days left until Victoria Day, which is our official start of summer according to the water management plan, I'm optimistic this year that we will have, if we have normal spring rains, we will be able to refill our reservoirs before Victoria Day. So as long as we get some normal weather, I do think the risk is low. But the risk is always there every year, just like the risk of flooding is there every year.
Okay, thanks very much, Halia. Just a reminder to everybody, if you want to ask a question for Sean Hines or Halia Petzold, just press *3. That's *3 on your phone at any time to let us know you'd like to speak live on the call. An operator will take down your question and put you in line to ask your question live. If you don't want everyone to hear your comments, you'll have a chance at the end to leave a message at the end of this event. So, Sean Hines, I have a question for you, and it has to do with profits and flood conditions. It's something that we hear often. Is OPG making a large profit out of flood conditions?
Thanks for that question, Neil. That's a good question. We often get asked that question as a power generator. During flood conditions, when you see water spilling through the spillway and the spillway gates, of course, that water is not going through the turbines. So that water is not passing through the turbines. And, of course, that's spilt water. And so OPG does not produce any energy from that water, and of course there's no financial benefit to spilling that water. Now the other thing that's not well known is during high flow conditions and flood conditions, the tail race or the downstream water elevation at those stations tends to rise. And as that downstream elevation rises, and our headwaters are typically maintained or even lowered in some cases, over the headwater to the tailwater, that difference in elevation, of course, is reduced. And as that elevation is reduced, the flow or the head, as we would call it, the distance of which that water falls going through the turbines, is reduced. So the actual output of those generating stations during these high flow freshet flood conditions is actually dramatically reduced as far as power output. So no, Neil, during flood conditions in spring freshet, OPG's financial or revenue from generation is actually reduced quite dramatically.
Okay, thanks very much, Sean. That's a good answer. Just a reminder, press *3 on your phone at any time to let us know you'd like to speak live on the call. An operator will take down your question. We'll put you in line to ask your question live. And again, if you don't want everyone to hear your comments, you will have a chance to leave a message at the end of this event. So let's go to another live call. We've got John calling in from Ottawa. John, you're live on the telephone town hall. Please go ahead.
Oh, thank you. I have a four-season cottage on the Madawaska in Centennial Lake, just near the hydro bridge that crosses Centennial Lake. And I noticed that the water was frozen a foot higher than usual this year. It's the highest level that I've seen the ice frozen at in the 15 years that I've been there. and the ice wrecked the platform that I used to anchor my floating dock. I'm just wondering, would it not be possible to freeze Centennial Lake at a, you know, a slightly lower level so that, you know, it doesn't cause a lot of headaches with respect to dock repair?
Okay, great question, John. I'm going to throw this one over to Helia to answer.
Yeah, thanks for the question, John. We operate Centennial Lake, which is controlled by Mountain Chute Generating Station, according to the Madawaska River Water Management Plan. So we always make sure to operate within those limits, and we really encourage folks on the river reaches to know those limits and be prepared for water levels anywhere within our operating ranges there. With respect to this past year, it does appear that at times we may have been about 10 to 20 centimeters higher than the long-term average. And this is really quite consistent. One benefit of hydropower dams is the water level is held much more consistently than is natural. And if anyone wants to look at our historic water levels, the averages versus last year versus this year, I encourage them to go to opg.com/river, where every business day we have tables and graphs updated that show our water levels and water flows, and context is provided against the historical average and last year. So in response to the question, we're going to continue to operate as we have historically, because to deviate from our historical operations, we'd have to be talking about making changes to the water management plan.
Okay, thanks very much, Helia. And John, thank you very much for the question. Let's take another caller live. We have Tanya in Barry's Bay. Tanya, you're on the telephone town hall. Please ask your question.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my question. So what I keep hearing is a lot of unpredictability as far as what Mother Nature may or may not do. I think we all understand that we can't control Mother Nature. We don't really know what's going to come our way any given spring. But what I'm not hearing is, what are your contingency plans? What is being put into practice or into place to actually help protect property owners from flooding damage, and also, of course, the shoreline and habitat as well? Because this is, we've had, as we all know, and I'm hearing the callers, we're all across the entire county. This is not unique to any one particular area. Like Renfrew County is huge. We've all experienced these issues. So, and yet this is kind of new, right? I mean, 20 years ago we didn't have this, in spite of Mother Nature. So just wondering, what are the plans to help protect landowners, property owners, the shoreline, the habitat? What is concrete that you're doing? And please don't refer me to the website. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Tanya. Okay, Sean, if you want to take that one.
Yeah, thanks, Tanya, and I promise I won't refer you to the website. It's a good question, and frankly, it's one that we struggle with often, because the landowners along the river systems, erosion do impact properties, and we're all property owners to some respect, and it does impact people directly, and we do recognize that. What we found in 2017 and the 2019 floods is there has been a significant step change in that erosion along all the river systems that experienced those floods. Now, I'm not a geotechnical engineer by no means. But as you know, rivers historically have been formed throughout history and by erosion. That's just the nature of how rivers are formed. And moving water, it causes erosion. And shorelines, certain shorelines actually are more susceptible to erosion due to geology or just the makeup of the erosion. you know, Ontario Power Generation, as well as the MNRF and conservation authorities, we all discourage removing of vegetation from shorelines if it can be avoided to prevent further erosion. And there's certain things that homeowners can do, landowners can do. On the generators perspective, the dam operators, what we do and what we very carefully do is operate as per our limits and our guidelines. And those limits have been in place for several years, decades, if you will. And over decades, those limits have been maintained and religiously operated within. And we will continue to do that. Now, with respect to erosion, we do listen to landowners across the river systems, and we do get people coming forward with erosion concerns, and we do investigate. We do spend the time to investigate concerns and issues related to erosion, because it is our desire to make sure that, you know, if the erosion is anything we can help with or prevent, we'll certainly do so, and we will field those requests from homeowners and landowners to give you folks the assurances that our operations are maintained within limits and whether that erosion is in fact related to dam operations. So thank you for that. Hopefully that provides some answer to your question. Thanks.
Okay, thanks very much, Sean, and thank you for the question, Tanya. If you have further questions or you'd like more information, please leave your name, contact information at the end of the call, and we will be in touch, and we could put you in touch with our environmental folks. Okay, I've got a question here for Halya, and it has to do with Kaministiquig Lake. Why does Kaministiquig Lake get so high in the spring?
Thanks, Neil. Yeah, that's a great question. And particularly, we know certain springs, the level does get quite high. And that's because of what we like to call a natural river restriction. So I want everyone to imagine if you're boating down the Madawaska River, say you're getting in your boat at the wharf at Barry's Bay, you boat down the lake and you boat through the exit of the lake or the outlet of the lake back into the Madawaska River. And as you go downstream, eventually you get to Kaministiquig Lake Dam, which is kind of misnamed because it's located on the river. It's also called Palmer Rapids Dam. That's a better description of where it is. And so the dam is located downstream of the lake on the river. And what happens in certain springs when there's a lot of water flowing into Kaministiquig Lake proper, more water is coming into the lake than can leave through the exit of the lake or the lake outlet. So where the lake narrows and it becomes a river again, it's kind of like a funnel. It has a set capacity and only so much water can move through at once. And our dam downstream is actually capable of passing much more water, but the water can't physically get to our dam because the outlet can only let so much more water go by at once, or so much water go by at once, pardon me. And so that happens when the inflow to Kaministiquig Lake is over about 350 cubic meters per second. We do our best to limit the amount of water flowing to Kaministiquig Lake by using the storage available to us at Bark Lake. But sometimes just the local inflow from the local area and the inflow from the York River is still more than 350 cubic meters per second. And our dam essentially cannot control Kaministiquig Lake anymore because it's that constriction where the lake water is flowing into the river that becomes the control of the water level in Kaministiquig Lake and not the dam downstream. And so certain years the lake does get quite high, but unfortunately we can't do anything about that downstream of the constriction at the dam.
Lots of good information there about Kaministiquig Lake, Halya. Thanks very much. Sean, I'm going to ask you to take this next question. It's from Mike. Mike is on the Madawaska River. So, Mike, do you want to go ahead with your question?
Yes, I live between the Weir and the Armprior Dam. on the Madawaska. The last few years, you've had a very high flow rate going through to drop the level of the dam. And when you did this, it had tremendous effect on the erosion on several properties on the river. And the area near the island has filled in with silt. So I was wondering if you're going to be dredging, or how are you going to fix it? There's a little lagoon beside the island near the weir, and at one time it was about anywhere between 5 and 8 feet deep, and now it's about 3. And the fish habitat.
Oh, okay. I think we may have lost Mike there. Sean, any comment on what Mike was asking?
I'd have to have a look at it, Neil, but I think he's referring to the island just downstream of the weir. So, going back to the question, there are no plans to do any dredging in around the weir or in that area between the gerring station and the weir. To my knowledge, I wasn't aware of any silt buildup or increased or decrease of water elevation in that area. There is no plans to do any dredging in that area, and from an operational perspective, there wouldn't be any requirements to do so. And I'm not without knowing what that silt buildup is from or where it's occurring would be difficult to respond at this time.
Okay, thanks very much, Sean and Mike. Hopefully, we were able to answer your question. Sean, I've got another question for you. It has to do with a project that we have on the go up in Calabogie, and you know, the question is, what is going on with the Calabogie redevelopment project?
Okay, great. Thanks, Neil. Up at Calabogie, for those who might be familiar, the year escapes me. I think it was 2018. There was a tornado that went through Calabogie. Those in the Calabogie area probably would remember it quite well. As that tornado went through the area, our Calabogie generating station was hit quite directly by that tornado, and as a result, destroyed the powerhouse and the station equipment as well. So as a result of that, those in the area would be perhaps quite familiar that OPG initiated a redevelopment project of that Calabogie generating station, and it's currently under construction. And that that new powerhouse, new generating station, it'll provide more carbon-free power for the province by efficiently using that water that's currently available on the Madawaska River. So we're quite excited about that development, the higher capacity powerhouse, it will be replaced with a new higher capacity powerhouse, and it'll be about 50 meters upstream from the existing building. And that new powerhouse, that generating station, is scheduled to go into service in 2022. And it'll be a two-unit station, and it'll actually be increased efficiency, and it'll make better use of the water from the Madawaska River. And that new site, it'll allow for more water to be directed through that powerhouse, and in fact, doubling the capacity of that station from around 5 megawatts to approximately 10 megawatts, enough power to power 10,000 homes. So this is quite an exciting project, and we're quite excited about seeing that in service in 2022. So, for more information, actually, if people are interested in reading more about that project, I would encourage you to visit Calabogie, CalabogieEGS.com, and read the story of, and or go to OPG.com, and there's you'll see some media releases and under our story on OPG.com. So again, we're quite excited about that project, and hopefully the community is quite excited about it as well.
Well, I would think the community will be excited about it. If you think about it, Sean, the original station celebrated its 100th anniversary a few years ago before the tornado happened, and so I'm sure the community is thrilled to have a new development in its place. So thanks very much for answering that question about the development. Now, speaking of Calabogie, I have Kurt on the line from Calabogie. Kurt, if you're ready and you want to ask a question on the telephone town hall, please go ahead.
Yes, hello. My question is for the Calabogie Barrett Chute Dam. We love the look of the building. It's an architectural delight, and it sits in its natural surroundings quite perfectly. But in the last year and a half, football stadium-style lighting has been attached to the roof, which shines really bright all night long. And they clear-cut a forest that helped with the natural beauty of the dam itself. My question is, why?
Okay, thanks for the question, Kurt. Sean, do you want to answer that?
Yeah, thanks for the question, Kurt. I remember when the trees you're referring to were cut at that facility, and unfortunately the cutting of those trees, of which you indicated, it did impact the sight lines, but unfortunately we needed to cut those trees because of something that was quite important for that facility, and that's a refurbishment project. Those trees were required to be cut because I think a newsletter went out to the community around the upcoming rehabilitation project at that Barrett Chute facility. So we've got the stations, the generating units in that facility over the next 4 years. Each unit, a generating unit, is going to be refurbished, and there will be a significant activity at that station. And, of course, in doing so, there was a need to create more room in that area in order to house, not to house, but to make room for some construction trailers as well as project staff parking and whatnot. So we anticipate over the next 4 years there will be significantly more activity at the Barrett Chute facility. And then afterwards, following that refurbishment project at that facility, we would expect that the the activity around that site will diminish going forward. But to answer your question pointedly, those trees unfortunately needed to be cut in order to facilitate increased parking areas and housing of construction trailers.
Okay, thanks very much, Sean, for that. I want to take another online, or rather a phone call from Dwight, who's somewhere along the Madawaska River. Dwight, you're on the telephone town hall. Please go ahead and ask your question.
Well, thank you, sir. My name's Dwight. I live about 200 meters below the Calabogie GS, the one that's under redevelopment currently. I attended the town hall meeting. I talked to Kevin Kazmarczyk, one of the engineers on the job. And at the time, I asked them, the plan is to triple the megawatt output of the generating station. There is about a two-mile stretch of river between the GS and Cherry Park, which contains the remains of an 1800s log slide. And there is a terminal velocity that's able to escape by this log slide at Cherry Park. And I wasn't able to get any sort of a rational answer how tripling the meg output wouldn't triple the flow of the water and still continue to be restricted by this log slide. So that's my question.
Okay, thanks for the question, Dwight. Sean, you've got about a minute or so to answer that.
Okay, I'll try to be quick, Dwight. I don't know the specifics around the design, but often you can increase the capacity of a generating unit without increasing the river flow. And how you do that is by increasing the net head. And what I mean by that is the the height or the differential between the headwater elevation and tailwater elevation. So basically the water is falling a greater distance, which you can increase your capacity that way. The other way you can increase capacity is by more efficient turbine runners. And basically new equipment. So, without knowing the specifics, it is possible that the net output or the capacity of the generator can be increased without significantly or without increasing river flow. Now, if the river's flow is increased, if the generating capacity is doubled or tripled, I'm rather certain that the flow of the river is not going to be increased because the flow of the river as it is today, we can't increase the flow coming out of Kalabui Lake to any great degree. So I'm rather confident without knowing the details. Thanks.
Okay, thanks very much, Sean. And that pretty much wraps it up for us. We're pretty much out of time, and I want to thank everybody for joining us. Sean, I guess what I'd like to ask you is, what are your overall impressions of this evening's meeting based on what you heard during tonight's town hall? We had a lot of calls. We had a lot of questions that came in. What are your overall impressions of this telephone town hall on the Madawaska River?
It was excellent. Thanks, Neil. I thought it was great. We had a lot of fun here tonight. I wish we could have done it all night. First, I'd like to thank everyone for taking the time to participate this evening to find out more about Ontario Power Generation and specifically our operations on the Madawaska River. We appreciate everybody's questions and the opportunity to have meaningful conversations with residents throughout the basin. As mentioned earlier in the call, if we didn't get to your question tonight, if you want to follow up, we will follow up with you over the coming days. We believe this town hall presents a good forum to provide our folks around the community with information and education about Ontario Power Generation's operations around the Madawaska River. As Neil mentioned earlier, if you would like to find out more about Ontario Power Generation and our operations, please visit opg.com/river for updated level and flow information for the Madawaska River system. For more general information about how OPG manages water and works with nature, please visit opg.com/water. This link also provides specific watershed information about watersheds where OPG operates, and you can access to the Madawaska River Water Management Plan that we touched upon earlier. Thanks, Neil, and back to you.
Okay, thank you very much, and that's Sean Hines, Director of Southeast Plant Operations East Region for OPG. I want to thank you, Sean, for joining us this evening and answering questions. And also thank you to Halya Petzold, our Technical Officer, Water Management, OPG's Southeast Region. Thank you to the both of you. And by the way, if you have any questions, comments, or ideas about something that was not addressed on tonight's town hall, please leave us a message at the end of this discussion. Just stay on the line and you can leave a message for the speakers and staff at Ontario Power Generation. If you want to learn more about us, I really encourage you to go to our website, www.opg.com. You can tweet us at OPG. You can email us, media@opg.com. Of course, you can call us as well at 1-877-592-4008. And again, thank you for participating this evening. If any of your questions did not get answered tonight or ones that you think about after the call, please let us know. It's been a great town hall. I'm glad we were able to speak with so many residents across eastern Ontario this evening. So thank you, and be safe, everyone.